And I don't mean this. How do I say this? I don't say this to be rude or sarcastic. Man, it's a rough crowd. I haven't even gotten started yet. Here's the question. It's also my message title. What did Jesus ever do for me? What did Jesus do for me? And we're going to look at that this morning because we need to know that. You need to know what he has done for everyone. It's not that he's done it necessarily for the church, although he has, but he did it for the world. He did it for the lost. He did it for the ungodly. He did it for the unsaved. That's why he did all that he did, was to restore and to redeem God's people. Amen. He loves you just the way you are. How many of you would say maybe this morning that you might be a mess? Well, he loves you right in the midst of your mess. Is this working? No, there ain't no maybe to it. It's an absolute fact. He loves you in the midst of your mess. In fact, the Bible says, while I was his enemy, he died for me to redeem me. So it has nothing to do necessarily with my performance. It has everything to do with his performance on the cross. Amen. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm pretty grateful for that. And so this morning I want to look at the three R's of redemption. The three R's of redemption. Turn with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 1. I hope you brought your Bibles. Amen. Don't take for granted that what I'm saying is the truth. You bring your own Bible. You follow along in your own Bible and you can help keep me accountable. Amen. Not that I'm going to lead you astray, but not on purpose anyway, that's right. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 7. If you're there, stand up and let's read God's Word together. Ephesians 1, 7. In Him, in who? In Jesus. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Amen. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the reality of Your word, the truth of Your word, the encouragement of Your word, the faultlessness of Your word, God. And Lord, I just pray today as I do my best to communicate what I believe You want communicated this morning to your church and literally by way of the internet around the world today, God. I pray that, Lord, You would give me put Your anointing on me, Lord, to declare the truth of Your word. Put Your anointing on Your people to receive the word, the spoken and the written word of God, Lord, that we would take it out of this place and spread it like wildfire all around the world. And I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow, when we don't dismiss the kids, this place is really full. You sure you don't want to have children's church? All right. Listen, we should not think that each person of the Godhead... Now listen, before I say this, let me clarify, because I said this on Wednesday night about the dispensations, the three different dispensations of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, we recognize as the dispensation of God, the 33 and a half years that Jesus walked among us here on the earth. We recognize that as the dispensation of the Son, and we now live in the dispensation of grace, the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, having said that, we should not think that each person of the Godhead works independently. Hello? They work together. They do work independently, but they also work together. And because they all work together to make possible the salvation that you and I enjoy today. Don't forget that. All three of the Godhead, the triune Godhead, all made it possible for you and I this morning to have salvation. But every person has a special ministry to perform. I'm talking about the Godhead. A special spiritual deposit to make in your life. You got to get with God and figure that out. You got to come to the place where you recognize that God didn't just create, you didn't just get saved, you didn't just start coming to church because you didn't have anything else to do on Sunday morning. That you didn't come to an altar and give your life to Jesus just because the pastor gave an altar call. When you came forward and gave your life to Jesus, you did so, and when you did so, you said, "Sign me up." You're not just purchasing some level of fire insurance. This young man's in the military back here. Wave at everybody. We're grateful for your service, sir. I got news for you. When he went in and signed a piece of paper that said, "Hey, I'm part of the United States," they didn't ask him, "What do you want to wear?" They didn't ask him how he wanted his hair cut. They didn't ask him to choose from the menu what it was that he wanted to eat. They didn't ask him, "Sir, what time would you like to get out of bed?" But we think in the army of God that we're on some kind of a little Christian camp out. Hello. You're on a battleship, not a cruise ship. They're not going to be people coming around wanting to wait on you. We have a job to do. God has given each one of us a special ministry to perform. There's been a spiritual deposit placed in your life. You got to get with God and you got to find out what that is. And the first R that I want for us to look at this morning is redemption from sin. You've been redeemed. It's an interesting word, redemption. To be redeemed or to redeem means to purchase and set free by paying a price. Now, I'm of the generation that there wasn't a whole lot of credit cards being handed out. We had this thing called layaway. At Monkey Ward's, exactly right. And J.C. Penney's and Woolworth's and every other place in town. You could go and pick all the stuff off the shelf like you were going to buy it and walk out of the store, except you didn't go to the checkout. You went to the back of the store. And in the back of the store, there was a layaway counter. And you would go in there, and they would put your name on all of this stuff, and you put some money down on what it was that you wanted, but you didn't get to walk out of the store with it. You had to wait until you could redeem, listen to me, until you could redeem what it was that you had set aside. The Lord God Almighty has set you aside, and He has redeemed you by His blood. You have been set aside, and He has redeemed you. He has paid the purchase price. You've been set free by the price paid. Listen, church, we got to quit taking for granted what God has done through His Son, through His shed blood in our life. In the Roman Empire, there were 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire, and often they were bought and sold like some piece of furniture or whatever, but a man could actually purchase a slave and set him free. A man could purchase a slave and set him free, and that's exactly what Jesus did for you and I. That's what He did. He redeemed us. He purchased us by His blood, and He set us free. The price, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, was His blood. It means that today you and I are free from the law. We are free from the law. We are, according to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, according to Romans chapter 6, we are free from slavery to sin, as well as we are free from the power of Satan and of the world, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, and Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. If we were slaves, we would be poor, but because we are sons, we are rich. Woo! Some of you need to get your woo on this morning. Maybe you just need to turn to your neighbor this morning and tell him, hey, I'm a king's kid. Did anybody even do that? I saw two or three do that. You guys did back there? All right, well, I'm not like God. I'm not omniscient. I can't see everything. Because you're a king's kid. You're a joint heir with Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Colossians, speaking of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Man, that ought to make somebody want to just shout. Woo. Woo. There was an Oregon Ducks football game yesterday, and I'll bet they cheered louder at that football game than y'all are cheering in this place this morning. I'm just saying. To speak of His blood was an important first century way of speaking of His death. There are people that do not like when you talk about the blood of Jesus. Do you have to always talk about? Yes, I have to always talk about the blood, because without the blood, I don't have anything. Because without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there is no remission of sin. Yes, I'm going to talk about the blood. Yes, I'm going to talk about it every Sunday. Because it's the blood that cleanses us. His death points to two very wonderful truths. Number one, redemption. Number two, forgiveness. Redemption was the price paid to gain your freedom and my freedom as slaves in bondage to this world. And through His death, the Lord Jesus paid the price to release us from the slavery of sin. You've been released. Set free. So redemption was the price paid. Forgiveness was granted in the Old Testament times on the basis of the shedding of an animal's blood. Every year, over and over and over and over, animals had to be brought. They had to be. Can you imagine? I mean, what a mess. What a mess of all of that. But it had to be done. It had to be done. You and I are forgiven on the basis of the shedding of Jesus' blood. He died as the perfect and final sacrifice. He was sacrificed, the Bible says, once for all. Amen? Never to have to be done again. And this word, forgiveness, it means to carry away. Your sins, if you've been forgiven, your sins have been carried away. Carried away. Isn't that amazing? They've been carried away. It reminds us of Leviticus chapter 16, of the ritual of the Jewish Day of Atonement when the high priest sent the scapegoat into the wilderness. The priest first kills the one of the two goats and sprinkles its blood before the mercy seat of God, and he confessed Israel's sins over the live goat and took it out in the wilderness to be lost, to be set free. It was a picture of the goat taking your sins off into the wilderness. Isn't that amazing? It's where we get our term scapegoat. Amen? Christ died to carry our sins so that they might never be seen again. Aren't you grateful for passages of Scripture like Psalms 103 and John 1:29? Aren't you glad that he said, "I'll remember your sin no more forever"? Woo! That's a long time. That's a long time. Some of us are really grateful. Said, I'll cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? Man, that's a long ways. That's a long ways. Yes. Those sins are gone. Want me to spell it for you? G-O-W-N. Gone. That's not how you spell it. I know that. But that's how I spell it when I'm preaching. G-O-W-N. Gone. You got to put that gone. They're out of here. I did learn how to spell somewhat. Listen. How many of you know this? What? Did I miss something? The enemy goes before the Lord and he tries to bring accusation against you. But let me tell you that no written accusation, no declared accusation stands against us because my sins have been taken away. My sin has been washed away. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. That stuff's out of here. I said this earlier, but it needs to be said again. Sin made us poor, but God's grace makes us rich. Redemption means I've been liberated. Hallelujah. I've been liberated. I've been set free. Stop carrying the guilt of the past. All 10 of you, that was... You need to get a hold of this morning. I will preach this until you get it. Somebody wants to eat. Church, we're too guilty. We're too guilty from the pulpit to the pew of carrying the guilt of our past. Listen. If you're, golly, Lord, if we're carrying the guilt of our past, then what we're really doing is we're saying that the blood of Jesus is really not as powerful as the Bible says it is. That it doesn't do what God said in His Word that it will do. If we believe that God's Word is God's Word, then you have to understand your past is forgiven. It is gone. It's no longer here. He said, I'll remember your sin no more forever. That's what He said. That's what He said. So stop carrying the guilt of your past. Christ has paid in full redemption's price. The second R I want for us to look at this morning is revelation. Revelation. There is a revelation that has been made in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 9 and 10. Says, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purchased in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in Him. Let me say this again. We need to understand, church, that God did not just save us. He has revealed His plan, and if you'll get in His Word, and if you'll get on your knees, you'll come to find out what the revealed plan of God is for your life. Didn't take very long for our young serviceman in the back to figure out what God had, or what the army had, or whatever branch of military he's in, had for him, because they made it very clear. And God will make very clear to you what His plan is. We are part of something. Anybody feel less than? Ever feel less than? Don't measure up? Not good enough? The whole deal? Let me hang on to your seat, because I'm about to rock your world. Glory. You, as a child of God, are a part of something that is far greater than yourself. It's far greater than anything you could even imagine. And one of these days, when we step into glory and see the impact that we've had in the world that we live in, we're going to look back. My prayer is that we'll look back and say, man, God really did use me. He really does want to use you. God has purposed to offer salvation to humanity before He made the world. Before this place was ever created, He had a plan, and that was to redeem you and I. Just saying. So how this would happen hadn't been revealed. It hadn't been made clear. It wasn't able to understand until the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He told the disciples what He was going to do, but they couldn't wrap their head around it. You and I, most often, we can't wrap our head around the reality of what it is that God has done for us personally. He died personally for you and I. He died corporately for the entire world. He said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. The whole world. The whole world. He said in another place, I'm not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's His will. But how many of you know, man's involved in that? And when man's involved with that, God's will, although He could supersede your will, God lets you have your will. And if you choose not to accept Jesus, if you choose not to follow after the Lord, then that's on you. That doesn't sound very comforting, but here's the truth. He's done everything He can to redeem you. And He's not going to force you on this side of the rapture or your death to accept Him, or to bow your knee. But the Bible does say that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. The thing that we have to deal with is, am I going to do it now of my own free will, or am I going to be forced to do it and be sent away? That's heavy. That's heavy. what God revealed was his plan to bring people, both the Jew and the Gentile, back into fellowship with himself through faith in Christ, and then to keep them with him for all eternity. He's preparing a place for each and every one of us right now. Isn't that amazing? He's preparing a place. Paul called this the secret plan that was centered on Christ. God wasn't intentionally keeping his mysterious plan a secret, but his plan for the world couldn't be fully understood until Christ rose from the dead, and then it's like the lights came on. People understood. Many people today don't understand the plan of God, but at the right time, he's going to bring us together and we're going to be with him forever. Everyone will understand the whole process. How many of you got questions for God? As soon as I get to heaven, I got questions. Probably not going to ask them. Probably just be so tickled to be there. None of that's going to matter. When we fall before him, none of those questions are going to matter. You're not going to have things explained. As bad as you today want to have things explained, when we get there, on that day, all people will bow to Jesus as Lord. All people, saved and unsaved. All people, yeah, even the devil and his demons, will bow that day. Either because they love him or because they fear him. I want to bow because I love him. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Listen, we need to trust God's bigger plan even when life feels uncertain. Anybody ever had uncertainty in their life? Listen, we in the midst of uncertainty, we still have to trust that God has a plan. God has a purpose, and God's going to make a way. When it feels uncertain, I want you to know he's got you. He's got you. He's got your back. He's not going to just leave you out there all by yourself. And the final one, the final R is we have reward. We have a reward. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the glory of his praise. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Woo! I just stop right there and just throw one of them out. The Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee? Have you ever got a guarantee on something and then went to have the guarantee what it was that it was guaranteeing, and they're like, no, that doesn't cover that. I got you a bumper-to-bumper warranty on this fine automobile, and something goes gunny baggy, take away, but it doesn't cover that. Hello. Two different bumpers. Who, the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. having believed, having acknowledged the Lordship of Jesus Christ, having believed, you and I have been marked in Him with the seal, with the promise of the Holy Spirit. We have an eternal inheritance. We have been, it is a guarantee by God's Holy Spirit. Amen. It is an eternal inheritance. It don't run out. It's not 6 months, it's not 12 months, it's not 48 months, it's eternal. Glory. Woo! The King James Version says it like this, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. But it could also say, in whom also we were made an inheritance. Think about that just for a moment. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, but in whom also we were made an inheritance. It's a possible translation, and both are true, and the one includes the other. Listen to this, 1 Peter chapter 1, the first four verses. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, in being set apart by the Spirit is what that says, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Wow. I'm trying to build you up this morning. I'm trying to get somebody happy about Jesus this morning. Well, I don't know if I want to accept Jesus. What in the world is wrong with you? We got to make a choice, smoking or non-smoking. Hello. In Christ we have this wonderful inheritance, and in Christ we are an inheritance. We have an inheritance, yet we are an inheritance. You might not know this today, but you're going to know it now. You are valuable to Him. You are valuable to Him. You're so valuable to Him that He sent His only Son to die to redeem you. Now just think about that for a moment. That's how much He loves you. We can't comprehend that, really. Think of the price that God paid to purchase us and make us part of His own inheritance. God the Son is the Father's love gift to you and I, and we are the Father's love gift to His Son. Go back, and we don't have time for it this morning, but if you went back and read John 17, just go back and count how many times Christ calls us those to whom Thou hast given Me. Over and over and over, John says, it says in John, those that Thou hast given Me. Jesus is talking about the reality that you and I are an inheritance to Him. We have been given by God to Him. Man, it's amazing. The church, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 and 23, the church is Christ's body. We are the body of Christ. We are, in Ephesians 2, 19 and through 22, we are referred to as the building. In Ephesians 5, 22 and 23, we're referred to as the bride. Christ's future inheritance is wrapped up in the church. He's coming back for the church, not this building, not that new building we're going to build. He's coming back for us. Hallelujah. To go, and He's waiting for us to be the church out there. Yeah. If you don't know, you're going to know now. I drive now. I went back to work hauling logs for Bronsons, to help them out. And the truck that I get to drive, Kathy, would you just stand to your feet for me right there? That's the color of the truck that I'm driving. I mean, that dude is pink. Woo! I look good in that sucker, I'll tell you. It is hot pink. And Greg was hauling up the North River last week. And I told him, well, be looking for me. I stand out in the crowd. I mean, you can't miss me. And the guy you work for or somebody said something about that. Did you see that pink truck? And Greg said, yeah, my pastor drives that truck. And because I'm driving a pink truck, it gave Greg an opportunity to share the gospel and to share about what God's doing because I'm driving a daggum pink truck. Am I telling the truth? He got to share that. What in the world? God will use anything he can to get his gospel out. We just have to be willing to do and to say what he called us to do and to say what he's asked us to say. Amen. You could have just as easily said, oh yeah, that's a nice truck, and left it at that, but you didn't. You were obedient to the Lord. And because of your obedience, you got to share the gospel. I think it's awesome myself. I think it's great. We are joint heirs with Christ. It means that he cannot claim his inheritance apart from us. We are part of the inheritance that he's going to claim when he redeems the church. Kathy, you can come to the piano. It ain't even 11:30. What in the world is wrong with me? Shoo. These three R's. These three R's. They show us what God has done for us. He's redeemed us. He's given us redemption. The second R is what God has revealed. He has given us revelation. He has revealed things to us. We've had a revelation through God's Word, through God's Holy Spirit. There's been a revelation. It's been revealed what God has done. What God has done, what God has revealed, and thirdly, what God has promised. What God has promised. He has promised us a reward. There is laid up, the Bible said, there is laid up for me in heaven. There's laid up for you in heaven. There's something that has been laid up. There's a treasure that awaits. There's a reward. It's more than just the reality that I'm going to make heaven my home. There's so much more to it. Redemption, revelation, and reward. In just a few moments, there's going to be tables all set up out here. There's going to be food ready to be eaten. We're going to sit around these tables and we're going to eat together. And when we do, let's be sure that we celebrate our redemption. Let's be sure that we don't lose track of the reality of why we have a potluck on the fifth Sunday. It's not just so that we can eat, although it is. But it's a perfect opportunity to sit with somebody and tell them and share with them what Christ has done in your life. Well, Pastor, I didn't bring any food for the potluck. It's all right. I won't eat much. You can have my share. I mean that. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. But I am eating healthier. And I'm eating less. I'm eating less. We need to trust in the fact that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And we need to live boldly, church. We need to listen to the voice of the Lord. And we need to be obedient to Him. Bow your heads with me, would you, all around this place? Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you. We're grateful today for these three R's. I'm grateful for redemption. I'm grateful that you paid the price. I'm grateful that I heard the old, old story. The Savior that came from glory, who shed His blood on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Undeserving, unmerited, but yet freely given. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, there's a new name written down in glory. In fact, there's going to be new names written down in glory, and it could be yours. It could be yours. I want you to know this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, people praying all around this place, I want you to know today that Jesus died for you. He died and shed His blood for you personally. This morning, the invitation is to you personally, that you personally would receive from Jesus salvation, redemption, the revelation that He died for you, and that you would one day experience the reward of salvation, the reward of making heaven your home. If you're here today and you say, "Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus before, ever. But I sure want to experience heaven." The only way you can experience heaven is not by being good. It's not by being all the things. It's by believing and accepting the finished work of the cross of Calvary. The only way we make heaven our home is by believing and receiving the blood of Jesus, being washed by His blood. And if you've never done that, today's your day. Today is your day. Joshua said in chapter 24, "Choose you this day whom you're going to serve." And he went on to say, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." And so this morning, heads are bowed. It's personal time with you, between you and God. If you say, "Pastor, I've never received Jesus as my Lord and Savior." Maybe you accepted Him a long time ago and life got away from you, and maybe today's the first time you've been in church in a long, long time, and you've just been out in the desert, out in the wilderness somewhere. But yet you found yourself in here today, and the Spirit of God is tugging on your heart, saying, "Hey, you need to recommit your life. I want you to rededicate your life to me today." If you fit either one of those scenarios, you've either never accepted Jesus or you accepted Him and today you want to rededicate and recommit your life to Jesus. If either one of those, I'm going to ask you right now to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Yes, ma'am, I see that hand. Somebody else. Yes, young lady, I see your hand right back there. I see your hand. You can put it down. Somebody else today, say, "Preacher, that's me." Anybody else? Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. You can put it down. Somebody else today. Anybody else? Yes, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I see you, buddy. God bless you. I see you, buddy. God bless you. Anybody else today? Say, preacher, that's me. You put your hands down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Listen. The Bible says this. It says, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. It says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying, listen, if we can't acknowledge Jesus Christ in this place, we certainly won't out there. And so let today be your first step of faith. Let today be your first act of obedience to the Lord. And if you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your chair and come see me right here in the front. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't let the enemy talk you out of it. I want you to just get up and come. You raised your hand. Get up and come. Get up and come. God bless you, sweetheart. God bless you. God bless you. Bless you, sweetheart. Come on. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, girl. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, hon. Come on, buddy. Come on, man. You raise that hand. Get up here. Come on, buddy. Come on. Come on. Give God a great big hand clap of praise, will you? Hallelujah. Come on, buddy. Get over here. Right there. Right there. Right, you're right. Get right there. You're fine right there, both of you. You're fine right there. Come on, man. Isn't God good, church? Woo! This is why we have church. Look at these little grippers right here. God bless you guys. I'm so happy to have you guys up here. From gray hair to grade school, man, right here. You know what that says? It says that God is no respecter of persons. You young people, listen to me. You don't have to go through all the mess that I went through as a young man, or what some of these ladies have went through as young women. You can live for the Lord all the days of your life. Amen. And I'm believing that that's exactly what's fixing to happen in you. God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost, and you're never going to be the same. Amen. Have you ever cheered at a football game? Have you ever cheered at a basketball game? Have you ever cheered at the races? You don't even cheer at the races? What in the world? You're going to cheer today, okay? I'm going to say something. You're going to say it with me, all right? As soon as I'm done, all of you, amen? I'm glad you're here today. In case nobody told you that, I'm glad you're here today. Amen? And I love your hair. I think it's beautiful. If I had hair, it'd be that color. I ain't kidding you. Let's pray. I want you to repeat this after me. Would you do that? Say, dear Lord.
Dear Lord.
I thank you.
I thank you.
That I found my way.
That I found my way.
Into this church.
Into this church.
Where I would hear.
I'm here.
The good news.
That
you died.
That you died.
You shed your blood.
Shed your blood.
You did it for me.
For me.
And today.
And today.
I declare.
Declare
that I am forgiven.
That I am forgiven.
That I am washed in your blood.
I am washed in your blood.
That I've been redeemed.
That I've been redeemed.
And that
my name
is written down.
Is written down
in glory.
In glory.
And right now.
Right now.
You're preparing a place.
You're preparing a place
for me.
For me.
For when I make heaven my home.
When I make heaven my home.
And I thank you for it all.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Woo! Hallelujah! Jesus.